Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground.
Ranger fans, report the critical thinking hangar. Ranger fans, report the critical thinking hangar.
Now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
The dulcet tones of the great Jim Gordon leading us in. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Eddie, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm ready to rock. I'm ready to roll.
Beautiful intro.
Mosh pit is ready after this. Well, thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Absolutely beautiful.
It's your praise is all I care for. You know, listen, I mean, you got to have a little bit of a opening with some jump. Get everybody crazy. And you know, nothing gets me crazier than when that. Can you hear us? That we did during the Capitol series at the Garden after Boudreaux's comments. That just sends chills up and down my spine. And you know, the whole "Can you hear us?" Just really great. You know, I just one of the classic moments in me being a Ranger fan was hearing that because you know, of course, Washington later and their fans came. You know, we are louder, but the Ranger fans thought about that. On the spot, it was like one of those just great moments for a Ranger fan. So I had to include that. So.
Yeah, and their fans are not louder. Not on their best day is a Caps fan louder than a Ranger fan. They're delusional.
And that's right.
Delusional pansies. That's all Caps fans are. Delusional pansies.
When they're good, the fans show up. When they're bad,
they go to Redskins games.
Exactly. There's no comparing a Ranger fan, and I'm not just saying it's because I am a Ranger fan, to any other fan probably in the league. For the amount of, although I will say Maple Leaf fans are pretty crazy for considering they haven't won much. And, you know, but Ranger fans, New York City, come on. You can't beat it.
Of course not.
Yeah. So that was that thing.
That's the end of that bit.
Yeah.
As Dice used to say. To those of you in the chat room this evening, and there are quite a few of you, and I know at least some of you, like Rock and I think Jay Grossman, some of you are more Twitter savvy than others. Maybe you could help me out. I am actually live tweeting tonight during the show. Does anyone know? And I would prefer if you do call in and tell me 646-478-4692. Is there a way? I'm using TweetDeck, but I could use just the Twitter website. Is there a way to automatically hashtag your tweets, or do you have to physically enter your hashtag every time? If somebody could call in and tell me how to do that, I would appreciate it so that I don't have to type #NY Rangers #New York Rangers at the end of every tweet. So yeah, if you're on Twitter, make sure you're following me. I'm @BlueShirtBanter. And Eddie is @RangerCrisis. My Twitter name will probably change within the coming days. I haven't decided what I'm changing it to yet, but since I'm no longer a part of, well, an official part of Blue Shirt Banner, I'm going to pass that over to Joe. He's going to become Blue Shirt Banner Joe, I think, or something like that. And And I'll become, I don't know, Blue Shirt Underground Gym or something like that. So make sure you follow us on Twitter because we do put a lot of, what would you call it, idiocy on Twitter?
There's a lot of idiocy that goes on.
We use Twitter for what it's valuable for, being stupid.
Right. What it was intended for.
Right, stupidity.
Nonsense.
Exactly.
Joking around, making jokes, inappropriate jokes.
Right.
Making inside jokes only Ranger fans would get.
Right.
Know, stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not the, I said this 2 weeks ago. Don't take pictures of your check engine light and tweet it because nobody cares. It's dumb. It's not coffee o'clock. I don't care.
Still doing that?
Oh yeah, they still do it. I don't care. I don't care that you checked in at a Mrs. Fields in the Massapequa Mall, or that you're
let
at
me
a.
Ask you,
go ahead.
Next week I'm going to be going down south. Going to be doing a Civil War trip. I'm not going to Gettysburg because I've been there several times and it's going to be a madhouse, but I'm going to several other Civil War battlefields. And I will be tweeting. Do you think I should tweet from there, like, you know, update?
No, that has value.
Oh, okay.
And especially if, I mean, it has value in itself if you just tweet it. You know, I'm at Appomattox Courthouse where the treaty was signed. It's even more valuable if you add pictures to it. But telling me you check engine light on, most of the people that you're on Twitter with, you don't see you don't see these people. You're miles and miles away. Who gives a shit? What do I care if somebody in Uniondale? What do I care if the check engine light's coming on? Any more than they would care if I got a flat tire. I'm in Mesa, Arizona. Oh, well, I'm in Tallahassee, Florida. Should I send AAA for you? Pertinent information and idiocy. That's all Twitter is good for.
It's just become craziness. You know, with all the technology. It's good, but then sometimes it's like, leave me alone. You know how I feel about that. Well,
wow, Twitter is already blowing up with people listening to the show and following us along here on Twitter. And the new theme song, I just got a tweet. It was sick. I loved it. That's from XXCM16XXX. I don't know if he's in the chat room, but
thank you.
We appreciate
it. Yeah. All right. Making me feel good. So since we last joined you, Ranger fans, let me tell you, you guys are a dedicated bunch. It is, you know, the last couple of days have been 90 degrees here in New York. It's starting to get cooler, but enough with the storm field. In the last week, two signings. I think not the most important signings as far as some Ranger fans are concerned, but a good step in the right direction, as they say. Artem Anisimov, or Anisimov, as I call him sometimes, and Michael Sauer got signed.
Excuse me.
Jim, what was your take on both those signings, and maybe your thoughts on what's about to come up with the other three?
Well, you know, I think it's the Sather seems to do these things. You know, this seems to be the modus operandi or whatever you call it for the evil genius for Emperor Sather-teen. He does these things in tiers. It seems like, and you know, he starts with the lower level guys and he gets those signed. He gets those guys in place, and then he moves on to the bigger fish. And that's what he did. You know, he got. I guess it was Sauer went down first, but then it was like an hour later or 2 hours later, wasn't it, that they announced that. Anisimov was signed. I'm glad both of those guys are signed. I want them both back on the team next year. I think they've got tremendous futures ahead of them as blue shirts.
I'm a little worried.
Uh-oh.
Well, there's been a rumor floating around in a Finnish newspaper. The Rangers may be interested in signing Sammy Lepisto, former Capital. He's played with another team, too, and I don't know why they would be interested in him. I know he's a little bit puck-moving defenseman, but the reason I bring that up is why are they still looking for defensemen when it seems – now, I know some people say there isn't a logjam, but to me, there seems to be a logjam of defensemen. And although Michael Sauer, I'm a little worried about Michael Sauer. Now, I'm a big proponent of the guy. But, you know, some of these guys are going to have sophomore, you know, even though he's been around Michael for a while, you know, he's going to be playing his second full season. Maybe me over-concerned where I shouldn't be. Because I really can't predict how he's going to play. But I don't know. You know, I'm a little worried for Michael because he's certainly become a guy that I like, and I think a lot of Ranger fans have endeared themselves to. And we got to worry about McDonough, too. These guys have been playing all through the summer as well. With various other, you know, national teams, I think the United States team. So I'm a little worried. Maybe I thought the money was fair on both sides. I thought the deals were good. So I'm just worried about nothing. That's what it is.
No, it's legitimate because you know what? If you asked me, you know, just, you know, obviously on hunch and nothing else, if you asked me which one of these young defensemen are most likely to have the sophomore jinx, for some reason I lean towards Sauer. Because I think I just think he was the bigger surprise of how well he played. And you know, McDonough, first round pick, highly touted. We were surprised at how he played very well and was pretty steady all year, but Sauer came more out of nowhere, at least that's the way I would perceive him. And I would think that if I had to pick one, Sauer would be my pick for the guy that's going to have a sophomore slump. But hey, look, you know, it happens to the best of them. And, whatever. But I'm glad he's here. Every Ranger fan, like you said, they love his game. They love he plays with a nice edge. You know, we said it last year. When he's on the ice, he makes it his personal responsibility to protect his goaltender. And, look, you know, the more Michael Sauer's, the better. You know, I'd like to see Mark Stahl get a little more of Michael Sauer's edge to his game.
Right. Yeah. And McDonough, I see him getting better. I just think offensively, he's going to be learning to pick his spots. Last year, that was another thing I was impressed with Michael Sauer. Michael Sauer knew when to join the rush at the right time. And that really speaks a lot. And that may be because he spent, although he was, you know, very injury-riddled in the A, but spending that amount of time as a professional, learning when to jump into the play and when not to. And I really thought Michael Sauer at opportune times really just knew when to go deep and to pinch. And I hope Ryan McDonough does that more, because I think he does have, you know, that 7-10 goal potential in him.
And then what, 93 assists?
Well, if you're following John Newman's predictions, he hasn't been lucid since 1991. I think he has a big announcement he's going to spill on us. Supposedly,
he was on hold and now he's hung up. So I don't know if. I don't know if he's at a table at IHOP where his signal is bad or what, but I expect he will be calling back in.
And I thought Artie's a good soldier. He went in there, he signed his deal. He's another guy that there are a percentage of Ranger fans out there that can't embrace Artem Anisimov because of his lack of hitting and his size. He seems to get knocked off the puck a little bit too much. But for a guy, he just strikes me as a guy who is so defensively responsible at a young age and has the talent and the wherewithal to become a better offensive player. I was watching some clips from last year, and if he learns how to hit just a little bit more, I'm not talking, you know, you don't have to go out of his way, but he knocked David Clarkson on his ass last year at center ice with just a check that was just, wow. Yeah, so I'd like to see a little bit more of him, but to me, he does his job. He's I don't want to jinx him. He's a guy who plays almost every game. You know, last year, imagine if he had gone out, besides the billion other people who had gone out. He was a constant, you know, and if he's going to play a line with Dubinsky and Callahan, he has to be a constant because those guys are in and out of the lineup way too much. So I thought Anisimov, Sauer, good soldiers. That brings up, you know, the other two were, I think, cinches, Callahan and Dubinsky. It's just a matter of numbers. But where is Brian Boyle on the value scale? Is Brian Boyle a one-hit wonder? I would like to know what Ranger fans think about Brian. Is he ever going to get 20 goals in this league again? Is he, you know?
He might, but I don't think he's good for much more than that.
Yeah.
Do you see him? Do you see him as a 30 goal scorer, or you know, a 70 point guy? And I don't think. I'm not saying he has to be. I'm just, you know, I think he's right about where he's going to be.
Well, if I look at it, if I'm looking at it not non-Ranger-like, well, it is Ranger-like, so I have to. But I think Boyle, Prust, and Rupp, right? That's what they're projecting. You know, again, you know, the lines, we don't know. But that's what they're projecting is going to be the line. I think, you know, Boyle kills penalties. That's a tremendous asset. If he can get better on face-offs, he can become a more important player. I don't think he's going to get as many goals as he got last year. I mean, that's not like, you know, bucking the trend. But he takes some of the worst shots I've ever seen on net. But he's one of those guys that does the role, though, of a third liner. He gets the shot on net. And the goalie covers it in a day where the goalies very rarely move the puck anymore, and whether they're limited by the quadrangle. What do they call it?
Trapezoid?
Lexicon, the trapezoid, the
parallelogram?
The parallelogram, whatever they're calling it this week. That's good for third line to get that puck in deep, you know, and get that face off in deep. So, Boyle's a toughie. Boyle's right on the cusp. Of, you know, if he gets 15 next year, I'm certainly not disappointed. I know. It depends what kind of contract he gets. You know, I think he's the one that's going to be, he may try to overvalue himself a little bit, you know, and see what he can get. So we'll see what happens with that. But,
and you know, like Mandar said before, there's nothing wrong with your fourth line center getting 15, 20 goals. Absolutely not.
Oh. Well, see, I think on a good team, those guys would be on the fourth line. But on the Rangers, they're the third line. See, I would like to see, this is what I was thinking, guys. And you know, correct me if I'm stupid. But I would like to see the first and second line, because as we have it set up now, which we know is not going to be the case, I'd like to get that third line with Stepan, make that the third line, and figure out the wingers on that, and make the Boyle line the fourth line. Because Stepan needs third line minutes. Now, I know we love Prust. We don't know what Prust is going to do next year. Mike Rupp, I think we know what we're getting. I certainly think a third line, and this is just off the top of my head, with maybe a young guy, whether Hagelin makes the team, and, you know, Fedotenko, maybe. I don't know where this leaves Sean Avery in the whole equation. And Eric Christensen. I would rather see that third line more offensive than just like, you know, a defensive line. I don't know if that's just out of left field, but, you know, I don't want to get too crazy about that line and say, listen, they're our third line. Because I think for progress to be made, you know, and plus Prust and Boyle kill penalties, so there's going to be plenty of opportunity for them to play other than that. So, I don't know. What do you think about that, Jim?
Well, I don't know if we talked about it on this show or if it was when we were on sports radio with Greg Locke, but, you know, I still think I'm still interested in seeing if Stepan gets a shot. Is it Stepan or Stepan?
Derek,
number 21.
Derek.
What, you know, maybe he gets a shot on that first line wing. Because I have a feeling. I still have a feeling. Knowing this team, knowing this coach, I have a feeling you're going to see a lot of juggling with that left wing spot.
Right.
Because he'll put Fedotenko up there for a shift in preseason against Fromunda, and it won't work. So then, oh, we got to try Avery up there, and then that won't work. And then, oh, what's next? We get Walt Kachuk to play up there. Oh, that won't work. Well, what else? Well, what else we got? We got Dean Talafis. Anybody got Anders Hedberg's number? We try him up there and see what happens. Is that Anne-Marie Adrian has joined us in the chat. Whoa, it's a big night.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Welcome,
Anne-Marie.
Nice to see you again. You know, and Volsky, who knows if he's going to be, you know.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Volsky.
But, you know, my obvious choice from the beginning has been Voltek Volsky on the first line. But, you know, you can't just pencil him in there and say, well, this is your spot to lose. Because, in my opinion, he hasn't earned the first line minutes yet. I don't know if you can put Derek Stepan, number 21, on the third line. I think he's too good for third line minutes. Or I think he's going to be too good for third line. How's that? And I like keeping Double A and Doobie and Cali together on that second line because, as I've said before, it was one of the few lines, it was one of the few things they did right that worked for most of the year last year. So,
all right.
You know,
well,
I just
well,
think
about...
Stepan is buried on that third line a little bit.
Well, how about put Stepan up where Artie is and move Artie down the third line? I mean,
Artie, listen,
you know how much of a fan I am of this guy, but...
I know. You are the official bouncer. You are the man at the red rope at the Artie party. You are the bouncer. Nobody gets in unless they tip you on the way in.
That's right.
You are the man.
At the Artie party, but...
You love these Russians.
That is a misnomer. That is, I am being mischaracterized. It's not that I like Russians.
It was just, I'm just being, you are the hunt for Red October. You're the man.
I know CCCP would love for me to say I love Russians. I do. I give everybody, I'm an equal opportunity fan. I'm like, oh, he's a Euro. I ain't going to like him. No, I'm not like that. But really, Artie was not a factor without Dubinsky and Callahan. There, I said it. He's not a guy that is going to, although he did have flashes with Gabrick for a little bit last year when he was moved up to the first line, he's not a guy that's going to make, he fits more of a third line role, I think, at this juncture. And for Stepan to grow, to play minutes with Callahan at the pitch, the only thing is Stepan is bad on faceoffs, which goes to your previous point, that perhaps he may see more left-wing duty against, Fromunda. He may see more left-wing duty next year. So it's going to be interesting. Well, I feel like they have so many – somebody's got to go. There's just too many players. EC's got to go. Avery's got to go. These guys have no use anymore. And Prospel hasn't made any decisions yet either. I mean, is he?
There's, you know what? There's a whole line of guys that I don't want on the Rangers next year. EC in the middle, put Prospel on one wing and Avery on the other, and send them all off into the sunset. That's a whole line right there of guys I have no interest in seeing on this team next year.
It's
nothing
over.
Against Vinny Prospel, good soldier, played,
right.
You know, obvious. You know, knee in poor health this season. I appreciate the effort. Love the celebrations. He was great when we needed him last season, but enough's enough. Enough's enough.
Yeah.
That's our fifth line.
Yeah, really? We're going to roll five? I mean,
Prosper, Christensen, and Avery. And we'll rotate in Lobster Newberry on occasion, maybe when we play the Flyers.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. I just think there's just too many players that we got to move on. And one of the main things is with this, besides their play, I mean, Prosper's a, you know, like you said, good soldier, played well when we needed him. Like you, Vinny, like your little orange tan there, like your smile, like the way you celebrate the goals. I like the way you're a leader, very outspoken, but you're 36. Goodbye. The second guy, Avery, what is he, 30, 31? I don't want to sound like I'm an ageist here, but besides the novelty of completely worn off of me of Sean Avery, there's just better hockey players out there than Sean Avery. Let's just, we got to come to that conclusion. He had a lot of assists last year, okay, you know, but three goals or whatever he had, I mean, again, goodbye.
Yeah, it's enough.
You were, what is he, 27, 28? I don't know how, maybe that just was his number. But he's another guy. Head case, reclamation project, we got no time for you.
And he threw his teammate under the bus. We don't discuss that. We've let that slide on this show.
That's right.
Threw Avery under the bus.
What did
and that's
say?
Our job.
That's right. We throw everybody under the bus. Or under the train, if you look at our logo. The subway. We throw you right under the subway there.
So, yeah, it's just... But, I think they'll have... it's going to be interesting to see where he fits in these guys, but I just don't see... it's one of your... You used to say it all the time about Wade Redden, and now I say it about Avery. What does he do? He instigates. Well, you find guys are a dime a dozen that instigate. I've said this before. There are guys on the roster that do what Avery can do and do it better and are better hockey players. Mandar can instigate. See, there you go.
Oh, yeah. He's the Ken
and he's a faster skater.
Yeah.
And there's another name, Carl Hagelin. Where does he fit in? Where does everybody fit in? Torts' role at eight lines this year, eight lines of forwards.
Yeah, it's gonna
look like a preseason football roster on there.
Yeah, I think Howie's got it right. I think EC and Avery are gonna wind up in Hartford, and that's right. And then Drew Kahn just mentioned Zuccarello. Where does he fit in?
And we haven't even mentioned him.
He's another guy. I was not...
him on the first line.
Ranger fans were goo goo gaga for him last year. Again, I know. See, this shows you that I don't like every import to the United States. The Norwegian Hobbit there, the Frodo from Modo. You know, I love the stellar scoring in the shootouts, but I'll say it again: 18 games he went without a goal. You can't have that. On a team that just doesn't score. And, so, they have a lot of players. And I know it's easy for us to say, and a lot of people, like you read a lot of these boards, they automatically want a guy from juniors or college to jump into the NHL. And that's certainly those guys that can do that are rare. That's why Derek Vaughn and Ryan McDonough kind of had an unbelievable season. If you think about it. But I would rather have that Hagelin make the team and learn than, watch Sean Avery. Now, again, if they have Sean Avery in the minors, bring Sean up if Hagelin struggles. You know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe go about it that way. Maybe get a little crazy with the future right away and then bring up these guys. They got to get younger, and they got to get there's a whole different attitude the Rangers are taking on, and they got to get rid of some of this dead weight. We can't be again. I love Sean Avery's, shenanigans. I love him, but it's time for the sideshow to end. Sideshow Sean's got to end, Jim. And EC, we don't have time for your reclamation projects. We could find you 12 goals somewhere else. That's where I stand on the Ranger State of the Union address. I had some other topics. I don't know if we got phone calls. You let me know. You are my captain.
We do have a couple phone calls. What time is it? Where are we at? Okay, it's 9 o'clock. Just got a full of this chat room, jammed.
I love this chat room. These people are great. Goddamn Ranger fans.
A few people in here we haven't seen in a while. Quick Release has returned. James Graham has joined us. I believe this is his first time here. I know he's been taking part in some conversations on the Facebook page that we have. You guys, by the way, you guys do a great job on that Facebook page, keeping up conversation. And a lot of people, I've noticed, they love the question of the day.
I'm going to return to that. I kind of slacked this week because and I wanted to mention this before we get to the phone calls. My cousin Anthony, who is probably about as close as you can, as I can get to an older brother, is in the hospital. Originally, it was thought that he had pancreatic cancer. He had a biopsy done 2 days ago. Turns out it may be a lymph node problem where he may have, like, lymphoma, which actually is the better of the two things. I think, as most people know, pancreatic cancer is pretty much a death sentence. And we're hoping that it's just lymphoma, and he'll find out in the next couple of days. And I've been going back and forth to Queens, you know, visiting him. And I have to tell you guys, the only thing that stops him from worrying is when I start talking Rangers hockey. Because my cousin Anthony is a different breed of guy. I mean, he is, you want to talk about technology not savvy, he doesn't even have the internet, okay? He relies, basically, all his information comes through the NHL Network and the newspapers.
The internet's just a fad anyway.
Yeah, it's going to go away. So, and I tell him, you know, when I start telling him about the Rangers and, Like we all have a little bit of an inkling of who Carl Hagelin is. We may have heard the name on the show or read about him. When I said, "Oh yeah, it's Carl Hagelin," he goes, "Who's he?" And I'm like, "Well, he's a guy that, you know, Detroit was after for a bit there when it was a little whether he was going to sign with the Rangers, or re-sign with the Rangers, right? If the Rangers were going to offer him an ELC or something, I don't know what it was, something like that." I said, "Yeah, he's really good. I met the kid. He's just really mature and." He gets so excited, like, I mean, he's a 51-year-old dude, you know, and it's like, anytime I mention the Rangers and what they're doing and how he sees that I really think they're going to get better and we're fine, that takes his mind, though. So I've been a little slacky. I know you know, I just want to let you know, and plus maybe your thoughts and prayers going out there. Anthony, as we call him, or Ant, would be cool, because he's just a... You know, he's a guy who's, you know, I'll end this with this. He's a guy, he was born with cerebral palsy on his left arm, actually, and a little bit of his leg. It's noticeable, but it never, sports is what saved his life. He got into sports really early, and he learned to play baseball one-handed. He learned to play basketball, and he was good. He was better than a lot of people were with two hands. So sports is his whole life. When I say it's his whole life, and he roots for the same teams I do because I learned from him. I really should curse him because all the teams I root for are losers. you know, he's just a guy that lives and dies New York sports. So hopefully we, you know, it's you know, something maybe like akin to what Mario Lemieux went through. So, all right, enough of that depressing shit. Let's get on.
Well, Anthony, get better soon. Get yourself some internet and get the hell in the chat room with us here. We'd love to have you.
Okay.
All right. You ready to go to the phones?
Chat room. I think it's yes. Go. Let's go to the phones.
It's Newman. All right. Let's see. I think we have Rock first up on the program. Rock, good evening. How are you?
What's up, guys? How are you? Good evening.
How are you?
How are you?
Very good. The intro was fantastic. Good job. It was really good.
He did a great job with that, didn't he?
Yeah, it was awesome. It really was. It really gets you pumped up for the show. So you guys are striding to make, which is a great show, even better. So
thank you, Rock.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, Rock.
I know that's like, it's kind of like getting drips and drabs as far as Ranger news is concerned. I don't know. Last week when the week was rounding up, I had a feeling on Friday that they were going to sign somebody. I don't know. For whatever reason, say they usually sign players towards the tail end of the week. Maybe that's just a coincidence or what. But I thought both contracts were lower than I had anticipated. I assumed Sauer would get anywhere between, I thought he'd get closer to 1.5, maybe a little bit more. And I thought Anissa would make closer to 2. But I guess both contracts came in lower than anticipated. So from that perspective, I guess it's a good thing. So, because I guess you want to leave a little bit of salary cap flexibility, not only to make moves during the season also.
Well, Rock, let me ask you this. A lot of Ranger fans have kind of forgiven and forgot Glenn Sather's past transgressions. Basically, since we acquired Gabbert, they feel like Sather has been fairly prudent. Where are you on Glenn Sather right now?
I always thought he has always been great with trades. I can't think of many trades that he's lost. Some of the trades haven't panned out, but it hasn't panned out for the other team either. He hasn't made those ridiculous prospect trades, like the prior regime did, giving away really young talent for over-the-hill veterans. Obviously, we're in a cap year. It's a little bit different. His free agent signings have been silly. I mean, there's no denying that. From my understanding, and I know Dave Maloney made a point of mentioning this a few years back. I know the Rangers were trying to go after Eliash a while back, and I'm glad they didn't get him. And believe it or not, they were trying to get Kim Janssen, and both of those players took less money to go elsewhere. And I think initially, I would say more just about coming out of lockout, there was a feeling that New York was a place where players, and it's almost like an unwritten rule, that they come here to retire. And we've seen so many guys, they've come here towards the tail end of their careers, and they've kind of faded off into oblivion. So I think initially he was overpaying guys just because they didn't want to come here, and he had to overpay them almost to get them to come here. So from a free agent standpoint, he hasn't had success. I can't knock his trades. I mean, he's made a lot of great trades. I don't have anything negative to say about him at this present moment in time. I think the team is progressing. I think it's moving forward in the right direction. And I think a lot of it has to do with their drafting. I mean, I think the drafting was the biggest problem with this team during the Neil Smith era, where they just never seemed to draft top-end talent or talent that made a difference on an NHL roster. So
right.
From that perspective, I can't really say that he's done anything bad recently.
Yeah, I pretty much. But I will never forgive and forget, especially some of the. I think that 2003-2004 team, maybe my most hated Rangers team.
Was that the Lindros team?
That was Bobby Holík.
Lindros, Nedved, Hlavič.
Martin Rushinsky. just like a lot of dopes on that team. Guys I just couldn't root for.
But you know what, Eddie? You know what the problem with those teams were? Bad goaltending. Mike Dunham, to me, is the worst goaltender that ever played for the Rangers. Starting goaltender.
He's surely up there.
Horrible. You sat down in your ass in that seat. You were down 2-0 before you blinked your eyes. 2 goals on 5 shots. He was the worst goaltender I have ever seen. He was horrible. Those teams were not bad. If they had a better goaltender, they would have probably had more success. But Mike Dunham was horrendous goaltender. Horrible. So I agree with you, though. There was a makeshift team, but their goaltending was extremely porous.
Anson Carter, Chris Simon,
Matthew Barnaby,
Ken Janander,
Boris Mironov.
Oh God,
Greg DeVries,
Benoit Dusablon.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's
Bryce Bryce Lampman.
Jean-Yves Roy.
Yeah. You know, Sandy McCarthy, Darius Kasparaitis, Chris Simon was on that team.
Guys were bringing up. They would also what they would do is they'd sign guys like Sean McCush and I can't even think of all the scrubs that these late 20-year-old guys that they bring in to play in Hartford instead of letting their prospects play there. It was like a resting home for, you know, over the hill 20-something-year-olds that are never going to make the team. So I mean, from that perspective, I think a lot of it's changed because of Gordy Clark. I think their whole mindset is, you know, drafting guys and trying to build something.
Yeah, and it's all, listen, you know, we are fans of Gordy Clark. We're in Gordy we trust. So far, so good with the picks. But until they get to the NHL level, that's when we're really going to know. You know, Chris Kreider can win all the bean cups or whatever they call it over there. You gotta play in the NHL. But so far, Stepan and the shrewdness of getting McDonough, and I think in a guy that maybe it turned out the shrewdness of getting Tim Erickson, who I think's got a good shot at making this team again. They throw another defenseman in there.
How about Pavel Valentenko? I thought he had a great preseason last year.
I liked him. I thought he had a little bit of feistiness in him that Garnett Exelby didn't show us last year. B.B. Maven's favorite player. But, yeah, he showed me a little bit of jam, as Tort says. I liked him. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how they sort all this out and whether they're going to go with you're going to make the team based on performance. You know, but we've seen that line. We've been fed that line, hook, line, and sinker several times. That's why it took Wade Redden never got benched. When he was up, certain other Chris Drury should have been benched several times during his Ranger career. I wish Torts would walk the walk a little bit. You know, if he's going to talk all this, you know, it's based on performance. I don't care if you're the captain or not. If you're sucking it up out there, you got to hit the bench.
Oh, I agree with you. And I thought he did a very good job of that towards the tail end of the season when Drury was playing less than 10 minutes a game and he was giving you absolutely nothing. And he would, you know, skate into the blue line, take a slap shot. It would go sailing around the boards out the other end and it'd be a 3-on-2 the other way. And like, what is this guy even doing on the ice? I mean, he serves no purpose. So I really think that he's done a much better job, and say what you want. I think that he's lived up to some of the problems that he had faced the year before. I thought he was a little bit more mellow this year. I thought the team played a little more relaxed. And, the thing with the defensemen is there's a lot of competition. So if these guys if they want to earn a spot on the team and they want playing time, I really believe that it's going to be a feisty competition, and I think the guys are going to play well, and we're going to see very early in the preseason, how good, Erickson and Delzato and a lot of the younger guys who are fighting to make the club, see how much they push a guy like Sauer and McDonough, because Girardi and Stoll are a lock, so you figure there's still, relatively there's four spots available, five spots if you count the seventh defenseman, but it's going to be very interesting to see how that whole thing plays out. And if you guys remember last year, there was a glut of forwards last year. And we all thought, oh, they're going to make a move. You know, we had Tim Kennedy. We had Todd White. We had this guy. We had that guy. What are they going to do? And we thought they were going to make all these trades. They never did. And all they wound up doing was sending guys to Hartford, which I think is going to wind up happening again this year. Because let's be honest. I mean, is there really a market for Sean Avery at this stage in his career? Is there really a market for Erik Christensen at this stage of his career? I don't really know if teams are willing to take on these reclamation projects anymore. They just want to see what their young players can do. And that's kind of the age of the NHL. It's kind of gotten to that point where, they're not bringing – look how many 30-something-year-old players are out there. I mean, if you look at the free agent pool, most of the top 20 guys that are on there are all 31 and older. all the younger guys are gone. So it's becoming a younger league, and teams are like, well, you know what? Why am I going to pay this guy $900,000? I'll bring in a guy that is making, you know, $500,000 or $5,700, whatever it is, and he could probably give me the same amount of production.
Right. Yes, I agree with that. Not just because I consider you a friend, but because you're right. It is kind of a younger league. You'll see guys, teams go after the younger guy, and the veterans, you know, they make their money, and you know, but once they turn over 30, unless you're a guy who's still producing, you got a hard time to make a third line and fourth line as a third and fourth liner if you're over 30 now. Except if you're the Rangers, you can find them, you know. But yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. And I think Paulie D does too.
Head hits. Any head hit.
That's great.
I gave you. Here's another. You want to hear that? This is the new Paulie D clip. Well, I haven't said, Jim, you ready, for this? I haven't debuted. This is not the garbage one yet. This is my new one. Ready? This is the debut of Paulie D, the Instigators, a show that we wholeheartedly endorse that you listen to. But this is the new Paulie D clip.
So if your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on.
Thanks for the Falcons.
What is going on with
Thanks for the Falcons.
What is it? Thanks for the
Thanks
Falcons.
For the Falcons.
Thanks for the Falcon.
Where's that from?
It's from a State Farm commercial.
Oh, yeah, I knew it sounded familiar.
Yeah, Boy D's into falconry, too.
Thanks for the Falcon.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway,
if your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on.
I don't know what is going on. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Jim Schmiedeberg's imitation of the Instigators opening.
You're listening to the Instigators radio program. If
he doesn't stand on his head, they don't stand a chance. It's a bunch of garbage.
So if your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on.
Wait, hold on. We might need that just one more time. Wait, but I got to find the follow-up. Where'd you put it? It's one of you stashed.
We love you, Paulie.
We're just having fun, that's all.
I
don't know where you put it now. Shit. Oh, well, I'll have to find it later. Anyway, you know what bothered me?
Cutter.
Exactly. Thank you, Cutter. You know what bothered me about that 2003 Rangers team? Sather made himself the head coach. He hadn't fucked things up bad enough at that point as GM. So he had to watch this. If you thought the first 3 years were bad, wait till you see what I do now. Ladies and gentlemen, Joseph Fillet.
Was that the season he came down for a little bit and then didn't Rennie take over?
Well,
was that the same year?
He took over the team when he fired he took over when he fired Trottier. Mr. Handwriting, Mr. Penmanship, the winner of the Lady Bing Penmanship Award. He took over then, and then he just left himself there. You know, he kind of elected himself Pope and left himself there, and then he stepped down halfway. He's like, well, I fucked this up enough now. Here, Rennie, it's all yours. But I'll go get you Yager, and I think he traded for Kovalev, or he traded Kovalev away again. I don't remember now. But after he'd made a big enough mess, I think they were 20 and 30 or something.
They purged the team that season.
It was 22 and 29. And he lets Rennie take over for the last 16 games of the season. Here, it's all yours. Go ahead.
Yeah, then they're bringing I'll tell you, that season, the season before the lockout, right after they made all those trades, when I got into the arena, I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he goes, do you know who's playing tonight? I said, I don't know. I said, it was the weirdest feeling to walk in there and not know who. I mean, Thomas Pock came out of nowhere. I'm like, where the hell did this guy come from? Chris McAllister.
Yeah, I remember him.
Oh, and then the other Mike Green. There was another Mike Green that got off waivers, and they brought Sandy McCarthy back. And oh my God, it was just an absolute disaster. I mean, it was the weirdest feeling. I mean, I've had a lot of disappointment as a Ranger fan in my life, but going in there and seeing that makeshift team there circled around Yager and Messier, they had to be looking at themselves like, "What the hell is this?"
Those 2 years were the worst.
And you know what? That team could score. They couldn't keep the puck out of their net.
Well, it's because they
were the complete opposite.
Yeah, really.
Pascal Rayom.
Oh, my God.
And Chris Simon. I hate Chris. I hate that guy. See him play with the Rangers. My God. Lane Ulmer, ladies and gentlemen.
Lane Ulmer.
Jamie Pushore.
Yeah,
Jamie McLennan. Jamie McLennan was on the team, right, for the end of that season?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
God. Oh, my God, what a disaster.
Lucy Markkanen, you remember that guy?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, very.
Future Coyote star Jason LaBarbera.
Was Chad Wiseman on that team?
Yes, sir. All the hits.
Oh,
you could rewrite 100 Ranger greats just based on that 2003-2004 season.
Joseph Vallée was on that team. LaRose.
Yep.
Not Chad LaRose. Another LaRose. Corey. Of course, yeah.
Dan LaCouture. You remember him?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, it's terrible. Paul Healy. All right. Enough about that team. Gives me the shits. All right. Rock, anything else, buddy?
No, that's it, guys. Hopefully we get these other guys wrapped up before they go to arbitration, and that's pretty much it.
So if your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on.
What the hell was that,
oh,
bro?
Don't ask me.
Was he having a bugler on the show or something?
I got a good one for you before I leave. The 10-1 show did Greatest Defenseman in the Metropolitan history. Any idea you want to give? Just want to give me an idea of who they might be?
What was
it? In the NHL or for the Rangers?
For the Rangers. No, period. Greatest Defenseman in the Metropolitan area.
Well, I'll go with number one. This is going to be blasphemy if I say this. Well, no, number one, Brian Leetz.
Nope.
Number one, Scott Stevens.
Nope.
Hot fan?
Yep.
Get the fuck. I don't want to hear the rest now.
Let me tell you who was on there. This is the part that pissed me off. They rated Kenny Danico ahead of Brad Park.
What? Leave the show with that kind of news.
I just thought it was funny.
Leave
hilarious.
This
That's
show.
All.
Got punched out by Manny Malhotra.
Yep.
Great.
Well, it's not as good as Glenn Hanlon, but.
My Danico. Brad Park was. If it wasn't for Bobby Orr, he would have been a Norris Trophy winner.
Brad Park. Let's put it this way. Brad Park was number 7 on the list.
Come on.
So I just thought it'd be fun.
Where,
all right.
Yeah. No,
one more time. Hot Van was number one. Leetz was
Hot
two.
Hot Van was one.
Yeah.
Kevin Stevens. Scott Stevens was number two. Leetz was three. Harry Howell was four.
Harry Howell.
Surprised they even knew who Harry Howell was. They probably had to call Emil Francis.
Forgive me. I'm sorry. Scott Niedermeyer was 4. Howie Howell was 5.
Wasn't he on Gilligan's Island, Harry Howell? what was after that? Scott Stevens.
Scott Stevens, Leetz, Scott Niedermeyer, Harry Howell. Danico, Brad Park. Oh, God, number 9 is I forgot number 9.
Roman Indor?
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Yes, exactly. Mark Hardy. Number 9 was Ken Morrow, and number 10 was Rafalski.
This is very important. Open my pants.
Where was Brian McCabe on that?
He was an honorable mention.
Said that to his daughter?
What was that?
All right. Would Mark Hardy say that to his daughter? All right, Rock.
All right, boys. Have a good night. I'll talk to you next week.
Take it
easy. Thanks for that top 10, man. That got me going.
Bye. What? Those MS. Who's putting together those lists?
Who saw Harry Howell play? They think, his number's retired, so he must have been good. I mean,
but not only that, but who decided that he wasn't as good as Niedermeyer? And I mean,
right.
Was Fishface?
Maybe. He's the only guy I know that had some kind of devil's association. Ken Danico. I got news for you, folks. Jeff Bugelman, in his limited time as a Ranger, was better than Ken Danico ever was. Ever was. Ken Danico, would he write the list?
Cerny's laptop putting the list together.
Cerny's laptop printing it out.
Well, we know it wasn't Dave Maloney. He would have put himself on the list.
Yeah, he would have been number one. The captain, Dave Maloney.
Where's Greshner on that list? Doesn't he deserve to he get on there somewhere?
Gresham doesn't get on that list? I'm going to have to ask Ronnie. I'll get him crazy over there.
Yeah, where's Don Jackson? Where's Kurt Giles?
Exactly.
The effrontery. I like
Igor
that word.
Igor Ulanov.
Mario Marowa.
Mario Marois.
Mario Morgado for that.
Mario Morgado should have been over there. It's a stupid MSG. What do they even do these things for? So we can make fun of them. That's all, those bald-headed bastards. Now, we got more phone calls here. You want me to... I see you got a couple people on here. Been on for a long time here.
Yeah, we'll bring the calls on.
Bring them on. Hurry. Holy kidding.
Thanks for the Falcon. 631-974. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio.
Yeah, it's Co-Star.
Hey, what's up, Costa?
You know, let me just say before Costa was saying that you should...
Goodbye, get out of here, you bum. Goodbye, get out of here, you bum. Goodbye, get out. Goodbye, get out of here, you bum. Goodbye, get out of here, you bum.
Oh, God, I'm going to die, man. I'm going to fucking die.
What's going on, Costa? How are you, bud?
Oh, geez. Stephen should be the number two center. Okay. If he's the three, I'll go nuts. I will go nuts.
Okay, well, so you're putting him on the number. You're putting him on the two with the big.
Yes, sir.
What
yes,
about
sir.
What about Anisimov?
He's more of a defensive center than an offensive center. To be perfectly honest, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think, he did get 20 goals. He's a guy that I think has the potential. But I would rather see him earn his... I don't know why. I feel like Stepan is capable of much more offensively. And so I kind of agree with you right now, although I think it's probably going to wind up that Stepan's going to be a left wing.
Left wing.
Okay. I think
Mario
Morgado's ears must have been ringing. He just popped into the chat room.
All right, go ahead, Costa.
I think if you put Stepan on the first line, I hope he learns a couple things from Richards.
Right. Go ahead.
Okay.
Well, you were talking about the you were talking mafia names before, so I thought maybe the Godfather.
Yeah, exactly. Like Jimmy Sheed. Jimmy Sheed, friggin' what's the other one? Susie Papp, you know. That's a good mob name. Susie Papp.
Goodbye, get out of here, you bum.
All right, so go ahead. Enough of this chicanery. Let's get back to the call.
Mandar said, leave the gun and take the cannolis, Costa.
And I agree with, I see Paul Falke has joined us in the chat, and I agree with him and his pink font. And I think since he has trouble with face-offs, the left wing may be the place, Costa. For Derek Stepan.
All right.
But then again, what do I know?
Paul's right. His face-off ability leaves a lot to be desired. But he's a young kid, so, you know. But he got 20 goals last season in his rookie year, you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. He had three of them in the first night.
Exactly.
Right. So, we'll see. There seems to be a little bit of people saying he's too small to be a winger, blah, 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 blah. You know, with a team, and the Rangers don't have the most, well, I guess they do now. I was going to say, we don't really have any offensive centers, but now we have Brad Richards. I keep forgetting we have Brad Richards, guys. Somebody remind me that we have Brad Richards.
We have Brad Richards.
If you put Steph on the third line, you better leave it lock in a lot of ice time. You know, I know third line, you don't log in that much, but in his case, I think he can handle a decent workload. Personally, I think
it's true. We'll see what happens, Costa.
Yeah.
Again, with the lines and everything, trying to figure that out is. It's just real tough. But, yeah, it just seems... Does it seem to you that just a lot of players and not many positions?
Yeah, but we know who's going. Like Christensen, he's... Goodbye.
Get out of here.
See, you're a bum.
Do the bit. Do the bit.
Goodbye, get out of here, you bum. Goodbye, get out of here, you bum. Goodbye, get out of here, you bum.
Right now, Costa, who's a bum on this team?
Christensen, I don't want Wally Wall on this effing team. Get him out of here. That guy has no heart.
Who?
Wally Wall.
Holsky?
Yeah, he has no heart.
Oh, you're talking about my boy now.
He's got no heart now. Man. What are you talking about? Yeah, he's got the talent. I mean, he got talent, but he got no heart. He's a floater.
Oh, well then, where was his heart? Yeah, when he scored that shootout goal, that wonderful one-handed shootout goal when he won us a couple of games, where was his heart then? It was right. You were worshiping him then. But now all of a sudden, WW, you don't like him, the Polish sausages, the Polish prince, all of a sudden, Wojtek Wolski is a leper to you. Listen, he's working with Barbara Underhill Costa. He's going to get better skater. He's a proven 20-goal scorer in this league. And I'm sorry. I will not label him a bum.
And if he doesn't stand on his head in the shootout, they don't stand a chance.
And as Jack Love, or Greg, as he's also known as, calls him the Kielbasa Kid. What's it like that?
Abe Froman, the Sausage King.
So... But I do enjoy...
Yeah, shootout, that's it. Shootout, that's it. Big deal.
Get rid of half the team, then. Get rid of...
Goodbye, get out of here, you bum.
I love to hear the State of the Bum address, but I cannot go with you on Volsky yet.
He cannot subscribe to your interpretations.
But I am fully, wholeheartedly behind you in the Eric Christensen, sorry, Phoenix Ranger, bum certified certificate. The bum certificate that you gave to Eric Christensen. I am fully behind that. I support that.
Yeah, he's got, but he, yeah, he's great on. He's great in the shootout. So what's the difference?
Well, all right. Well, we'll agree.
Yeah.
All right, you bum. Get out of here.
Goodbye. Get out of here, you bum.
Take care,
goodbye,
my friend.
Get out of here, you bum.
Later, Carl.
All right, I'm out of here. Ciao.
Take care, bro.
Now, what would, just for our own edification, as you like to say, what would be better, the boom and then the dismissed, or the boom and then the goodbye, get out of here, you bum?
I don't know. Well, I play around with it. I mean, that's what the off season's for us, to play around with these clips and entertain you folks.
Right, right. Exactly.
We got to work out the starters for the clips for next year. We have our own line system, and we've got to work out who. This is our camp right now for the clips.
Right.
See, we're still trying to work it out.
Like that wet lips one. That's not going anywhere.
So
that's
your
yours.
Lips are wet and ready to go, hold on.
Of course, people do go both ways.
That one's here to stay. The lips are wet. That goes right to the top of the list.
I like how you said, he was like, what is he having, a guy, a bugler? A guy who's going to play trombone?
Coming up on the show, the guy from Bugle Life magazine.
Blaine Stoughton on the tuba.
Howard Baldwin Jr. on the oboe.
By the way, all in good fun. The Instigators catches
absolutely
with Paulie D and Chris Katsopoulos. They'll be coming back once the season starts.
Right.
Now I wanted to talk about. I posted this on Facebook, and I want to talk about the Willie Huber syndrome. Now, it seems to me, now for all of you not up to speed on what the Willie Huber syndrome is, it's basically, and it can go for forwards too, but really it's for defensemen. Defensemen who are big but don't hit, and their history of getting completely just ravaged in a bad way by Ranger fans, with booing and hatred, and if you do a little research, you find out that this actually started even with the aforementioned Harry Howell, that this over 6 foot defenseman in his era, you know, in the mid 50s, considered a pretty big guy, and he was more offensively talented than a hitter, and he actually would, you know, hear a lot of disparaging remarks from fans. And then when Willie Huber, who came over from Detroit, was probably one of the bigger humans to play hockey at that time, was more of an offensive guy, and he took, especially from the blue seats, a lot of humiliation came his way. And then I was looking at it, and then I really thought there were more guys, but then the Tom Pody era came, and we know what we did to him, and apparently he's still good enough to play for the Washington Capitals, but we basically ran at it. You know, we ran him out of a town, random town. And Marek Milik, another guy, was actually still playing. I did some research in Czechoslovakia.
Isn't he in like a beer league over there or something?
Maybe that's why his point totals were so inflated, because he's in a beer league.
I think he's playing for a hardware. He's playing for a hardware store or something. Chico's Bail Bonds.
We're getting very, very, very diverse opinions on Tom Pody here. Howie's chimed in that Pody sucked, period. Mandar, Pody wasn't bad at all. Costa did not like Pody. Where did you stand on Tom Pody? And let's look at maybe this phenomenon that if why Ranger fans seem to have, you have to have a GOAT every year. And this is something I don't support.
Well,
and I go ahead.
Let me start the big defenseman. And like you said, this goes back years and years and years. And I don't even think Harry Howell was that. I don't think he was a big guy because defensemen weren't. You know, you didn't have guys like that playing. There weren't guys, just weren't as big then in the league. But anyway, but you know, and the list. I mean, the list is, it goes on and on. Not Peter Popovich. Remember him?
Oh yeah. I remember him.
Poppenstein. That's what I used to call him. You know, he was a big guy, 6'3", 6'4" on skates, and he might even be bigger than that. But he wasn't a physical guy, and I think it's that New York attitude, big guys, tough guys. You know, and I think we want to see our big guys play physical hockey. We want to see the smaller defensemen, you know, weaving in and out and scoring goals. And we want to see our big guys administering the discipline. And guys like Jeff Bukaboom. That's why we love Jeff Bukaboom to this day. And you know, the mere mention of his name and everybody, you know, Ranger fans all bow to the, you know, to Mecca together when his name is mentioned. So it's just, I just think that's the nature of the beast in New York. That's the way we like our defensemen and guys that don't play. And I'll admit, you know, I was on, you know, used to hear it all the time. Hit him with your purse, Huber. Hit him with your purse, Popovich. It goes on and on and on. Hit him with your purse, Malik. You know, it's always the same three guys up in the blue seats that'll be yelling it 30 years from now. You know, hit him with your purse, this one, that one, the other one. But, I'd be interested. What I'd like to know is, from a fan of another team, do they do this on other teams? Maybe not Canadian fans because they're all oddballs, but do Red Wing fans treat their defensemen that way or Boston fans, do they treat their defensemen that way? I won't ask Cutter about Toronto fans because I don't think he's I think he's completely lost touch with Toronto fans now that he hangs out with us. But did Willie Huber get the same treatment? He was a Red Wing, wasn't he, before he came to the Rangers? Did he get the same treatment with the Red Wings? You know, do St. Louis fans treat their defensemen that way? Do they expect their big guys to be hitters, and if they're not, they're looked at as underachievers? It's an interesting question. Or is it just us? Maybe it's just us. Look, New York fans have obviously, we have different expectations and different, what's the word I'm looking at? We have different expectations, I guess is the best way to put it, of our teams and our players than other teams and other cities. So, Patrick Rispo, where's this coming from? So yeah, I just think it's never going to change. I guess is the very long answer to a very short question.
Well, it also speaks to the fact that, and I was going to ask James Patrick this, and I we're running out of time. I wanted to ask him, and I'm pretty sure I knew what the answer was going to be. When you get booed, does that make you play better? Because I think a lot of Ranger fans are under the impression that if they boo a guy, he'll be motivated to do better. And to me, that's just stupid. Like, the reason this show exists is because me and you and all these wonderful Ranger fans can come here and bitch about the team. And when we're disgruntled with something, come here. It's a forum. So there's all these Ranger forums around. This one's the best, by the way. To let that out. At the game, I don't boo anybody. I am cheering for the New York Rangers. I want everybody to do good. I have seen, and everyone knows this type of fan, they're coming hoping that the guy that they're complaining about does bad that night. To me, that is a stupid Ranger fan. You're not a Ranger fan if you're hoping for players and coaches to fail. That is just, I mean, you know, okay, if they're like, you know, if you don't like the coach and, you know, they're 20 games under, you know, then maybe you have a reason. But when they're in the fight, when they're in the mix, you're a Ranger fan. And Mantar said this, you know, many years ago, you don't root for the players, you root for the sweater. And then you then break it down to the players. I, you know, when Peter Nedved was getting booed out of the building, I couldn't understand it. because he came out in the papers. He said it makes you nervous. It makes you. Now I understand he's a professional, he's making millions of dollars. Blah 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 blah. I'm talking about being an intelligent fan of a team and a loyal fan. I think that's disloyal. Now I may be going out. I mean, everybody pays their money. Everybody has their right to boo at the game. But booing your own players at home, to me, is a disgrace. What is the other team thinking?
Now, well, let me ask you a question. Is there a difference between booing a player and heckling a player?
Yeah. I think booing, I consider it more of it's more of a cooperative thing where you have hundreds of people booing a player when he touches the puck. Whereas, you know, hit him with your purse, Robitaille, or something like that, that's fine. But as a collective, as Ranger fans, to collectively boo our own player, where it is noticeable to the... It's embarrassing to me as a fan. Now, we have this wonderful show where we come on and we can say our players suck. But you know what? If any Islander fan came to us and stepped to us and started saying the Rangers suck, obviously that would be in a derogatory manner, we would stick up for every Ranger, maybe even Erik Christensen, that's the way I just don't get it. I mean, are there other arenas? Now, I know Montreal is very tough on their players, and they surely have, you know, they have the heritage and the reason to. They're held to a higher standard. But I think there are a lot of fans, and I'm seeing it get a little bit better now, where they just want to come and just wallow in the negative. And listen, I'm a funny guy at the games, but I don't take pleasure in, I'll say to Jim if I'm sitting next to him again, like, yo, fucking Drury's ridiculous. But I'm not going to stick up, boo, Drury, you suck, get off the team. It's either you got that contingent or you got the contingents on their BlackBerry the whole freaking game. But I'm not saying that that's predominantly the whole crowd. I'm saying the negative portion. Maybe it's just a getting older thing where I don't know. I just think it's where I don't see it being a productive thing to do. It doesn't help your team.
Okay. I kind of like the heckling.
I like heckling too.
Should have heard me. I rarely get good enough seats at a hockey game where it's really any. I mean, let's face it. There's no fun in heckling from the 10th row of the blue seats. You're not going to be heard. but like baseball games, I used to get seats out in the Met bullpen. When they come to play the Marlins, you should have heard some of the things I used to say to Aaron Heilman.
but Jim, I'm not again. Yeah, but you're saying that you're heckling, it's the same. Maybe again, I'm so used to hanging around with intelligent Ranger fans that have visited the critical thinking hangar and are part of this underground and the new media. That you guys just have really great thoughts and are very intelligent, right? That I've become a little bit of a Ranger fan elitist. And I don't say elitist in a bad way. I just can't stand people who just come to the games to be negative and to make themselves like, I don't know. This goes back to the whole way why I feel about the Poffin sucks thing. It's like, look at me, I'm going to be the one who does the Poffin sucks thing. Meanwhile, it has no relevance in the game. And if you want to talk, again, we had those dopey people on our thing who wanted the Dancing Larry, stop Dancing Larry, he's a jinx. First of all, the jinxes don't occur, and Dancing Larry has nothing to do with it. If there is a jinx that I could probably document, is that stupid Poffin sucks chant, because the other team always scores after they chant. So, it's just, I understand it's part of our identity. We say Potford sucks. It's our house. It just, you know, and I just got, you know, I just got a message, and I'll say it's from Anonymous, that he says, I especially hate the season ticket holders that boo their players constantly. Why are you going to the games? Why are you going to the games? That's what I'm saying.
Some of those blue seaters, I mean, they're very, like, the word you, perfect word, elitist. My brother and I, and this is going back, I mean, this is years ago. My brother and I sat up in the blue seats one night for a game. I think it might have been opening night against the Flyers. Richter was in goal. This was after a couple of years after they won the cup. Richter made a couple of big saves, right? My brother and I start jumping up. We're yelling for Richter. A couple other guys, you know, doing the Richter, you know, that Richter. Some other guy stands up and goes, hey, sit down, shut up. I start the chants up here. I looked at him, I go, what the fuck? My brother and I are like, are we not in a Ranger game?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't know. Again, I guess all fan bases, there are good and there are knuckleheads. You know, and I guess, you know, you can't convince. It's the same people yell shoot on the power play. It drives me nuts.
That's why you yell pass.
I yell pass. Because, and then people just look at me like, this guy is totally off his rocker. Because, like, obviously what they're telling the Rangers to do, it's not working.
Right.
Because they don't score and they don't shoot.
Yeah. 80, so, going on 86 years, that advice isn't working.
Yeah, I mean, whether they listen to you or not, you think they're just being stubborn? They're not going to shoot? They've become the power play's become its own entity and being? They never shoot. We have to yell it. It's just insane.
By the way, have the Rangers introduced their 86th anniversary heritage jersey yet?
No, but I saw the Winter Classic jersey.
The real one?
Well, the one that they have on the poster of him and Brizgalov going at it.
I haven't seen that.
Well, Marcy Braverman's already down on that. It was posted on Facebook. I saw it. I thought it was okay. I think you'll be happy with the shield. I know you're big on the Rangers shield.
Did Marcy have it on her Facebook?
Yes, I think she was the first one to break it. I don't know if that's going to be the official one, but from what I saw...
Oh, this looks bad. This looks badly photoshopped. I don't know who did this, but...
Oh, you think this is a total knock?
This just doesn't look real to me. The logo looks real, but I can't... you know what? I like that jersey that's in the picture, but I don't think this is real.
You're Mr. Photoshop, by you.
That's just me.
Oh, Magoo! You've done it again.
So I'm rarely the poo-pooer, but this time I'm poo-pooing.
Is there a link for that? I'm getting some messages.
Let me see. Copy. Here, let's try this. I just pasted a link in the chat room. Hopefully that'll work.
Yeah, if you want to take a look, we don't know if this is real or not, but I don't know.
All right, now we got Mandar on hold, and if you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. Be nice to hear from some of you guys that we haven't heard from in a while, so feel free to pick up the phone and call in. And the live tweeting is going pretty well. Of course, most of the time it's Jeff answering my tweets, but actually that's not true. We've had quite a few people answer. And following us along on Twitter, which is good.
I was going to say that, but Ranger fans, you know, I'm not down on Ranger fans. I think we are the most loyal, and I really think one of the most informed fan bases out there. Considering there hasn't been a lot of winning, just hasn't been a lot of good hockey. So you know, just my take. Maybe I'm just being old and crotchety. Hey, listen. As I'm getting older, I'm starting to rethink my ways. So maybe I'm becoming too hippie-ish. Maybe I should be one of these guys that you know, stands up and boos.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn, you damn bitch.
All right. We'll bring Mandar in just a second. I got something here for you guys. Ranger fans, the new season is fast approaching, and now is the time to finally get that home theater set up that you've always dreamed of. Call the experts at Home Theater Solutions for all your home theater needs, specializing in custom installations such as TV mounting, remotely locating your equipment, getting your home programmed to a universal remote, and, of course, setting up that 5.1 sound system that will make it sound as though you're at the garden. From your living room to your fan cave, their installers will help you design the perfect system to fit your needs. Call 848-448-2017 to make an appointment for your free walkthrough today. That's Home Theater Solutions, and we welcome Home Theater Solutions, a proud sponsor of Blue Shirt Underground Radio.
Was that sponsors now? Wow.
You act surprised.
Well, I have to for the crowd. You know, the audience. This is theater of the mind.
Right.
Theater of the insane mind.
Or in my case, theater of the mindless.
What about...
So if your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on.
I didn't know you were going to play it. I didn't have a follow-up ready. Try it one more time.
All right, one more time, then I'm going to get to this thing.
So if your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on.
Thanks for the Falcon.
We have a sponsor. That's good. We're moving up in the world. I haven't gone to the whole. I'm so bad. I'm bad with technology, Jim. Before we remand, I don't have like an HD TV. I don't have anything. Like I have the same. You know, my TV's a fairly big size, but not like one of these 60-inch jobs. Is that I don't know. I feel like maybe I need to. Visit our sponsor.
Well, go to PC Richards, get yourself a TV, and then call the experts at Home Theater Solutions, 848-448-2017. Proud sponsors of Blue Shirt Underground Radio.
Hey, listen, God bless any business that would want to affiliate themselves with this show. God bless
you. Absolutely.
You should make some money out of that. And tell them Eddie and Jim sent you. I always wanted to say that. Or enter Mouth. On their website, in the code portion, or Jimmy.
Yes, and watch the doors fly open for you.
All right. So, what else we got?
I had a question, and I think we started to touch on this a little bit last week, but I'll bring Mandar in first. Mandar, good evening.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Oh, all right.
Sponsored by myself.
This Mandar's phone call is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
I think he does like Dunkin' Donuts.
Who doesn't like Dunkin' Donuts?
That's true.
Mandar runs on Dunkin'.
So, Mandar, what's going on? Any comments for the show? Some things that may have tweaked your curiosity that you'd like to comment on?
No. I think that you guys have covered such a variety of things I wouldn't even know where to begin today. But the additional sound effects are just yet another example of how this show is going to skyrocket past every other show available on Blog Talk Radio.
Well, now that we've got a sponsor, we did have another sponsor. Let's play that ad.
Vicky, what do I do with all this scrap metal? Dad, what should Jan do with all her scrap metal?
Tell her to shove it up her ass.
From the side!
Yeah, but this new sponsor is actually compensating us to play that ad.
Yeah. No, the other sponsor is... anyway, you're glad, Anisimov, Brian Boyle, what do you think he's going to be?
I think he'll probably slot right in that same area as well. I tell you what, though, I wouldn't be surprised they give Boyle just a one-year deal, not a two-year deal like they've given the other guys. I think Tortorella's going to want to see him become that much more hungry again. These other guys, these other younger players, they got two-year deals, which I thought was kind of interesting, because what you'll have at that point, I don't know if at that point they'll be eligible to go unrestricted or not, but or they'll probably still be restricted. But it's interesting. I think Boyle will get a one-year deal. I think they still want him to be able to prove that he can do what he did last year again, keep him hungry in that aspect. And that's fine. I mean, we've been looking into the chat room about and talking about ice time being diminished for a guy like Boyle because you brought in a number one center, when I don't understand how that happens. Ice time is a finite thing. It's not an infinite thing. And whoever plays on the first line is going to get first line minutes. Boyle never played first line minutes last year. Maybe played a shift or two on the second line, depending on injuries or needs or whatever. The guy is going to play third or fourth line, and he's going to do his role. If he does it again like he did this year, he'll be successful. There's no reason why a fourth line center can't get 15 to 20 goals. You put him, Prost, and maybe Rupp together. That's a tough line. That's a heavy banging line that doesn't hurt you defensively and can chip in a few goals. The guy has a role.
Yeah, I certainly think that. Now, who do you think are going to be the guys that are going to be left out of the equation, either Hartford bound or parts elsewhere?
Well, I think they're going to let Avery go. I don't want to see them let Volsky go, but I just, you know, it didn't seem like he had a lot of confidence from the coach. It'll take Volsky, but I think that they would keep Volsky at least through camp. And if Volsky has the kind of camp that Boyle had last year, you know, with the skating guru, who knows? But I think that guy's got a tremendous amount of talent. I wouldn't want him to compare him to Christensen about unfulfilled potential because he's actually had some success in the NHL, but he's comparable to that. You know, Christensen is destined to be a black ace, one of the guys that are up in the press box, you know, as the extra forwards, you know, every night. I really don't see Zuccarello really having much of a role on this team because the Eastern Conference is a much more physical, and he disappeared towards the end of the year last year. It's not a knock on the guy, but he's not a physical player. He's small. He gets bumped off the puck really quick and easily, and he's just going to wear down on the grind. You know, everybody wants to compare, you know, anytime a small guy comes in, they want to compare him to Marty St. Louis. Well, those guys are the exception, not the rule. Everybody would like to think they'd have the next Marty St. Louis, but there's a reason why there aren't that many of those guys there. It's a fact of the game. You know, you can't see an Eastern Conference guy like Zuccarello go up against the Prongers, the, you know, the Charas, any teams that have big defensemen. He's not going to perform. So I think he's another one that should be on the left out. Not even would be. I think he should be left out. So, and Avery, you know, again, the same kind of deal. And somehow I get the impression Avery wouldn't care either.
That's certainly true. You know, Sean marches to a different drummer, to the beat of a different drummer. And Zuccarello came in with such fanfare last year and such... He was kind of like the Matt Gilroy when the Rangers signed Matt Gilroy, the guys that the talking heads at MSG on your broadcast were lauding, and he's the next Brian Leetch and this and that. Brian Leetch, what do you think of Matt Gilroy? And last year was Zuccarello, and the press follow him. He was their darling last year, and I think since that is kind of worn off, and now it's the Brad Richards era, and the fact that you know, we're going to hear Sam and Jolton Joe, you know, completely just, you know, explode all over, you know, Richards and how great he is, and you'll hear that for 15 games, and so I think with Zuccarello, maybe a little bit of the charm has worn off, and maybe you're all right, maybe he doesn't even make it out of camp, you know. I think last year, and maybe you guys can correct me if you're wrong, he was sent down, but because of injury, he was brought back up. Was that the case last year?
I don't know that
anybody can remember.
Camp. I mean, I thought he had a good camp, though, but I don't remember him.
Well, I remember, I think later in the season, he was sent down.
Right.
And then he was called back because of injury. I certainly don't. He would be nice if, and this maybe you guys can answer this, what goes on between the shootout where these guys really excel, when they get a chance to shoot, and even strength? Is it just finding the position, not getting the time? I mean, I mean, these guys, they look like all-world players when they have a shootout, when they have a breakaway.
It's not that hard to be that kind of skill when you're not facing any kind of a game situation right there. All of us have known people like that. I think growing up, sport. You ever see the one guy that can shoot a puck or shoot? You know, we used to play deck hockey. You see those guys that could shoot the hell out of a hockey ball, but that's all they could do. You know, it's like you acquire this one skill that you're able to do, and that's it. And I'm sorry, maybe he has a skill for that in the shootout, but that's not enough for me to keep him on my roster. If you're going to be his size, you're going to have to do something exceptionally well. You have to stand out in some way. He's not the fastest skater in the world. He's a good skater. He doesn't have a hardest shot. He's not a sniper, although he's a decent offensive guy. He doesn't thread the needle with his passes. You don't notice that, although he's competent in that. You know, so a guy in his size to succeed in the league has got to do something exceptional. That's why Christian Thomas, another smaller player, but probably has the ability because he's been the sniper. Now, will that translate into the NHL? We hope so. But if you're going to be a smaller player, in order not to be able to get dominated by a bigger team, you got to have something a little bit more extraordinary than just okay, because you're going to get swallowed up, especially in the Eastern Conference. And so while I think Zuccarello is okay, he doesn't do anything to the point where he's going to stand out and deserve that spot over another player who's not going to get physically manhandled.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to excel if you're a smaller guy. I mean, you have to really be have a skill set or one of the things in your arsenal that is far and above anybody else's on the team practically to be playing. He does show flashes of some playmaking ability. I think his skating for a small guy really is a little bit more explosive out of the gate. And it's tough to gauge sometimes offensive players in the Rangers because they are so defensive and they do lack a lot of I think in the case of Zuccarello, he's the type of guy, because of his size, has to do it despite what he's playing with. He has to show that he's above and beyond even with not, playing first-line minutes and so. But, I think he is destined for Hartford and with injuries, the way 2 years couldn't be drastically more different. Last year, they were just decimated by injuries. The year before, they had very few injuries. So, hopefully there won't be that many this year. He's just one of those guys I think is a fringe player. I think he's a little bit overhyped by Ranger fans, which we tend to do.
All of our young prospects are.
Yeah, I would say we all tend to overrate the young guys. But even after I saw him play, though, I thought, and I was taking the task for this, that he was getting a little bit too much slack from a very vociferous Ranger fans within our circle. That, they're easy to criticize other guys if they go 10 games, but this guy went 18 games without a goal, and, nobody was getting on him. He's a cute little guy. So.
We're off the air.
Wow.
No, we're not supposed to be off the air. We're just off the air. Nobody can hear us.
Really? Tell them to refresh.
Open. Yeah, they've all said they've been refreshing and it's not working. But apparently Bill Maher has the solution. Captain Midnight has struck again.
Wow.
Refresh, still no sound. Well.
Hmm.
Well, DrewCon's got us. Hello, DrewCon. Welcome to the program.
Hello, DrewCon. Why don't you tell everybody how to get back on?
Yeah, really. Tell them what your secret is.
Yeah, what's your secret? Ancient Chinese secret.
I wanted to ask you, we could talk about it a little bit. Mr. Magoo's got it. With the Rangers promoting Jeff Gorton from assistant director of player personnel to assistant GM. And then they also promoted Kevin Maxwell to director of professional scouting. Now this guy Gorton, he was Boston's interim GM. He was instrumental in getting Lucic and Marchand and Tuukka Rask and Phil Kessel. And he also helped acquire Chara and Savard. So this guy's got big time GM experience. So with this guy getting promoted to Sather's assistant or assistant GM, where does this leave Messier?
Well, I think we talked about it last show, and I
did we?
I think we talked about it a little. Or
I wasn't feeling well last week, so after
right.
James Patrick, I kind of was zoned out.
Maybe
so
maybe we didn't. Maybe I think it was on that other show we were on.
I know we broached the topic, but I don't think we really got into it.
I think this leaves Mark Messier as just, well, I think it's a good move by the Rangers because, I really think so. I think this guy really knows his stuff. He's obviously a good talent evaluator, which I think is premium important. I think the Messier thing is just kind of a, I don't know. It's kind of a, what is he, a special assistant to the GM? I don't think it's going anywhere. I don't think it's something we should take serious as Ranger fans. And I think I speak for a lot of Ranger fans. It's like, Mark, love 94. Thank you, man. You're the greatest, one of the greatest players to ever play hockey. I don't want to, and I know compared to say there are people saying, how bad can it be? I don't want to find out, Mark. I just don't want to find. I want to keep my thoughts of you intact as a hockey player. I don't want to be affected. I've seen too many of these things go the wrong way.
I agree. This guy Gorton, I mean, he sounds like a, you know, capable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's funny how he hopped over Gordy Clark, who you would think. But I guess Gordy just, you know, he enjoys the... not that I know this for sure, but that he enjoys the scouting thing and maybe doesn't have any aspirations of being a GM someday or an assistant GM. So, listen, if this guy's resume, you read off several of those names, that's something good.
Not a bad list of qualifications, right?
No. And, they got Jim Schoenfeld also listed as a... assistant GM. I wish they would just put him. I know he works with the defenseman, and he's also the GM of the Whale. He should, should get off the pot. You know, do one or the other. I would really like for him to be behind the bench, working with the defenseman in game. I know he works with him in practice. I don't understand why we got to endure that other guy. Was it Mike Sullivan, the assistant coach, who is just, to me...
Mr. Personality
is useless as tits on a bull. I don't see what he does. He's diagramming the freaking power play. He's diagramming... all this stuff doesn't work.
I think he uses one of those woolly bullies to diagram their power play. You remember that thing with the magnets where you had to make the beard on the guy? What was that called? The Wooly Willy? The Wooly Bully or something?
I forget. But I'd like to see have a guy, if you're not going to get the veteran seventh defenseman, at least put Schoenfeld behind the bench. I don't get that. Man, how do you feel about that? Do you think it makes a lick of difference if there's a coach behind there to work with the D-men?
Well, you never are in a bad way if you have a Jim Schoenfeld behind the bench and working with the defenseman. I don't know if Schoenfeld ever wanted to do that, though. I remember he was back there a few times, but I don't know if he actually ever wanted to do that. You know, do you want Schoenfeld behind the bench maybe in Hartford to bring along our good young defensemen like, you know, Valentenko and those guys? I mean, would you rather have him there in the development stage, or would you rather have him up with the Rangers, who are already, you know, established there and have him behind the bench there? I don't know. I'm thinking I'd rather have him in Hartford there working with the young guys to integrate them into our system, so when they come up, maybe they'll be a little bit, you know, more ready. I mean, I think that really worked out, you know, real well for McDonough, so why not?
Drew Kahn just came up with a great one. Mike Sullivan reminds me of the switching to Geico guy. Does switching to Geico save you money in just 15 minutes? Has the Rangers' power play been dysfunctional since Zubov was traded? Drew Kahn, major applause for you.
Yeah. Are you paying too much attention to the Rangers' power play?
Damn, they had three nights of bull riding here at the Garden the last few nights. It might have been... had a little bit of an effect on this ice.
Oh.
You know?
You think they left some chips down there?
Oh, and I thought that was a puck.
I haven't missed those knuckleheads one bit. I have to tell you. That's my biggest worry going into the season is hearing those idiots gush over the other team and how great they're playing a great road game. This Winnipeg team is hungry. This team is
hungry. Oh, Sam, this Frölunda team, they work hard, Sam.
I talked to their coaches. They're very pleased with every man on this team. You better watch him. Watch out. Oh, God.
We spoke to Johan Verstegenhoven before the game, Sam. This is not your typical Swedish team, Sam. They work hard, don't they?
People ask me in the chat room if I miss it, and they're baiting me because they add them. I can't think of, and I know this is another divisive subject with Ranger fans. I know you people are used to the same old, and there is a tradition with Sam. He needs to go. He needs to go. Micheletti needs to go. And the only guy that I like, Jim doesn't like, I actually like Troutface.
Oh, God.
I actually, because at least I know this guy put in his, he knows his P's and Q's, or at one time did. You know, Mandar remembers when he used to do USA Hockey, and he would have the...
I remember that, too, but... Oh, I hate him.
Thanks, Al.
Thanks, Al. I mean, okay. But anyway, if we could do so much better. Why do they have to be so unbiased and so promote the other team? Every team is ready for the Stanley Cup. You know?
And they
every
work,
team right. that they're playing. And everybody says, well,
hello?
I hear you guys now. That was strange.
Did everybody hear that? Is Eddie still? Eddie's gone. Weird. Ah, I apologize for that. So I guess I wasn't the only one that heard that. They're talking about the Al Troutwig story that from 94 that always pissed me off about him. Well, we lost Eddie. I don't know what happened to him. And he was talking about Troutwig, yeah. So, well, if you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. At this point, I kind of lost track of what we were talking about. Oh, we were talking about Troutwig and yeah, okay, everybody heard it. I don't know what the hell happened there, guys. Sorry about that. Blog Talk having some some bugs tonight, I guess. Unless, we see, is Eddie still on Skype, or did he? He's still on Skype, so probably he might have lost his internet or something. So what do we got? About 10 minutes left to go. We will be back next Wednesday night. And I reached out to, I sent an email to the St. Louis Blues yesterday, to their PR department, to see if we could get, I asked to interview John Davidson. So we'll see. By the way, I forgot to mention, and I wanted, well, I can mention it again when Eddie's here. Big props to the Buffalo Sabres PR department for allowing James Patrick to come on our show again last week, because, you know, all that stuff's got to be cleared through PR, and obviously they said it was okay. So props to them for being much better than the Rangers PR department. All right, we got another call on the line. We'll bring him on here. 631-902. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this? Hello? 631-902, you're on the air. Gone. He hung up the phone. Sounded like he was watching a game. Did you hear that, Mandar?
I did hear that.
Something about a goal.
Tell him to turn his radio down.
Yeah, you got to turn your radio down before you come on the air. I don't know about Graveyard Shift. It all depends on Eddie, and he's been, you know, he's preoccupied with family stuff. So maybe, I don't know if it'll be this week, maybe next week. We'll see what's going on. So, no Eddie yet. Just a few minutes left. 646-478-4692 if you guys want to get in before we finish up. Those of you that have been following along on Twitter, you guys have done a good job pumping us up there. We've got quite a few people have responded to the tweets, so that's pretty cool. So, you know, as far as Schoenfeld goes, to finish that thought from before, I don't know. It's kind of weird all the different titles he has, and I think I just kind of like to see them make him the head coach down in Hartford and be done with it, and then bring somebody else in to run the power play in New York. I just think Schoenfeld wears a few too many hats with this organization right now. I don't know what you think, Mandar.
I like him in the developmental aspect of it. I mean, seriously, I think that he'd be best served to the team in Hartford bringing the young guys up. I would like to think that was one of the reasons why McDonough had so much success in his stint with the Rangers this year, because he was ready from being in the system, you know, not even for that long, but being able to come in. So I'd like to see him work with Valentenko like that. I'd like to see him, you know, work with Erickson maybe in preseason and give those guys a shot, you know, to be jumping in the lineup without any kind of missing a beat.
Yeah, and who's the other defenseman that they had? Scott's trying to call in and says all circuits are busy. That's weird. Huh, not getting through on the number. Who's the other defenseman they had down? Kondrachek?
Kondrachek, yeah. Was
he still around? I know Pashnin was in the KHL, and I don't know what his status is for this season, but what happened? Where did Kondrachek go? Is he...
I don't know.
Well, I'm about to find out if one of the guys doesn't beat me to it. Let's see.
But you know what, though? I'd like to see somebody work with the forwards down in Hartford to get them coming up here and able to score a few goals. I'd rather stop with the fifth, sixth, and seventh liners coming up from the minors to fill in a checking role. I'd like to see somebody get developed into a scorer.
Excuse me. Eddie, are you back?
And Rosen, another thing with this guy. He just is not, you know, that whole power play, it's a power play goal shtick. That's a curse.
That's a curse?
That's a curse because it never happens. And if to answer your question, Thomas Kondratek is under contract.
Good.
I call him Cundy.
As he's known in some circles.
Whoa, my. I wish Jay-Z. Somebody fire him as president of the... maybe that getting Gracha will be the nail in his coffin and he'll bring Jay-Z back to the Rangers.
And well, Eddie, two things you missed after you hung up. I sent an email yesterday to the St. Louis Blues PR department requesting an interview with John Davidson.
Whoa, how about Gracha?
Well, we'd rather have. Would you rather talk to? What are you going to talk to Grotchev about? Grotchev is a 5-minute interview. We could talk to JD for 6 hours.
That's true. We could talk about Grotchev and borscht. You like that borscht there, Grotchy?
There you go. And I said this, you know, big props to the Buffalo Sabres PR department for letting James Patrick come on here. Because you know that stuff's got to be cleared.
You think? Even in the offseason?
I would think so, yeah. I would think so, yeah. Because when we had Maloney on way back when, that was all through PR. And at first, they were gonna give us Mike Sullivan. God, thank God they didn't. I don't know. That would have been 5 minutes. That would have been the worst interview I could ever possibly do. The guy's got no – you can't feed off him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, PR
– these PR departments, from what I see – you know, everything's under their thumb, and it's just a matter of how willing they are to work with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know how the PR department, I don't even want to go into that. But, now, I don't know. You know, Emery's bringing up, but just going back to the Sam rant that was on before, how do you feel about Howie Rose taking his spot after
he's tainted.
I think he's tainted Howie Rose.
Tainted. You don't hire their players as head coaches, and you don't hire their broadcasters.
And John Monotone, no way.
No, we don't want him.
I don't want him. He's terrible. Bruce Beck, is he still working for them? Who's the other guy?
Bring back Mike Crispino.
Kenny Albert, is he doing
He does the radio.
Oh, doesn't LaGreca do radio now?
I think LaGreca fills in.
Reach out to Don LaGreca.
Rock was arguing with him on Twitter the other day.
Rock
said, you guys are the Rangers. Rock tweeted at Don LaGreca. He says, you guys are the Rangers flagship radio station. You can't interview Brad Richards. And LaGreca came back to him and said, we're supposed to have him on. And no, the station does not talk as much hockey as I'd like to.
Well, he wasn't going out of it. I think I like LaGreca. I don't know why. I have a good feeling about him. You like Amanda?
Eh.
Feh. Yeah.
But Gary Thorne.
Like LaGreca.
He's a devil fan, LaGreca.
Well, yeah. I know he's a devil fan, but he seems to kind of root for the Rangers as well. Now that he's affiliated with them. Who was the other guy you just mentioned?
I forget.
Chet Messing.
Gary Thorne.
Gary Thorne does the Baltimore Oriole home baseball games, and he's great listening to.
I like Gary Thorne.
He'd definitely still be good in hockey.
I'm on the opposite. He made every goal seem like you won the Stanley Cup. And he couldn't say Dale Purinton's name right. Kept calling him Dale Purinton.
I think he does college hockey for ESPN.
If
I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. Hopefully Sam announces his retirement at game one. Him and that Benjamin Franklin look-alike he is. Get off my television. I'm going to post some Benjamin Franklin pictures on the Facebook page tonight. And Sam, right next to each other, you guys got it right. Yeah, Drew Kahn just reminded me he couldn't say Malhotra, he used to say. He said Malhotra. Well, like the Hoarder from Star Trek, the Hoarder. Wasn't that the thing, the Hoarder?
The Hoarder, yeah.
The children.
I still think the best was when he did the Giants game this year and he called Brandon Jacobs Brandon Dubinsky.
Mr. French, too. He remembered that, too. You guys are the best. Will switching to Geico
save you 15% on your car insurance? Does Cutter say weird things?
Oh, brother.
So, we've come to the end of another broadcast. And, God, I love every one of you individually and as a collective. You guys rock. Thank you for joining us. Look for us on Facebook, Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Look for me on Twitter as Ranger Crisis. Jim, where should they be looking for you?
Under a rock.
You going to be under a rock?
MySpace. The penny saver. We'll see you guys next Wednesday. Thanks, everybody. Great show. Had a lot of fun.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good show.
Right, yeah, very good.
All right, fellas. I have to take my daughter to GameStop.
Oh, what's she getting?
She's been doing, you know, we have the Wii. And that was a funny story I forgot that I was going to tell on the show about the Wii. But anyway, well, they have a Wii at her daycare, and they have, like, all these dance games where they, you know, like, you got to emulate what they're doing on the screen. And she's really into them, so I was going to go get her one. She was doing the Michael Jackson one yesterday. You should have seen it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Doing all the Thriller dances and everything. It was pretty funny.
What's that called? Michael Jackson something?
Michael Jackson Experience, I think, or something.
Do you need the... Does it just pick it up with the thing up above the TV, or do you need, like, a dance pad?
No, with the Wii, you just hold the controller, and you pick a character before the video, and you have to emulate that character's movements with your hands or with your hips, and it just all goes through the controller. The sensor, that, you know, the Wii sensor that's up on the TV. So yeah, I'm going to take her over there and see if I can get her one of those.
All right, Mandar. Take care, man. We're not
Thanks,
going to do you down south, Mike, at all.
What's that?
When you're not going to be joining us at any point when we go down south, are you?
Well, you're not really going down south. You're going to Virginia.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll say
all right,
that.
You know, you got to come down.